Welcome to the Apartment Rockstar Podcast. On this episode, Robert Martinez is a guest on Mike Young's Madeover Podcast. Continue your real estate education journey and hear how Robert left his six-figure income job to pursue his newly found passion in multifamily real estate.
Hey, welcome to this episode of the Madeover Podcast. I'm here with Robert Martinez today. He is an amazing entrepreneur. Robert, tell me a little bit about you. Tell me what you're known as. And then I also want to dig into, just jump right into the conversation, like how you got into doing what you're doing today.
Yeah. Well, first, thank you for allowing me to be on your show. It's an honor. Congratulations on the show. It's amazing. I appreciate it.
Thank you. So
my name is Robert Martinez. I'm the apartment rock star, and I own a company called Rockstar Capital. We have 21 communities across Texas. We manage apartment complexes, 3,699 units. And our name is Rockstar because that's the kind of results that we have. We deliver rockstar results for our investors. It's a motto that we believe in, and you got to live up to that name every day. You know, so I like to think that our standards and expectations are as high as anybody out there. I discovered real estate by accident. I'd never, like a lot of people, I didn't grow up with real estate. My mom and dad didn't own anything other than the house that they were in. And you know, we always heard stories about, you know, landlords and, you know, tenants and taxes and termites and whatever else, you know, and all kinds of issues associated with being a landlord. I went to a good school here in Texas. I got an engineering degree, and I did what everybody else does. You become an attorney, you become a doctor, you become an engineer. And I chose the engineering path because I was pretty good with numbers. I didn't have a 4.0. I wasn't one of those think tank kind of guys. I was more of the social guy. So my GPA was a little bit lower. So I went into sales. And I sold technical equipment for the company that I work for to the oil and gas industry. And what happened was, like a lot of people who do sales, you know, I have to kill what I'm going to eat tonight. It was very high commission, lower salary. And if you don't survive, you know, on that, you're not going to eat. And that's the kind of mentality that I have. Well, what happens in corporate America, like within, like anywhere else, is that companies get bought and sold. And the very first thing when somebody wants to come and buy a company, they see inefficiencies, or sort of what they think are inefficiencies, or overpaying specifically of the sales guys. Can I generate the same number of sales and pay them less or reduce their commission? And, you know, there's no way to demotivate a sales guy than to mess with his commission plan. And that happened a couple of times to me, and it really upset me. And I began to look around and I realized, you know what, I don't like this. I don't have control of my financial future. I'm working really hard and I'm not seeing the results. I'm selling more every year, but I'm not making what I should be making. I'm making sometimes less, or having to sell a lot more just to make what I made last year. And I had a growing family at the time, and I really didn't want to take a step back. And so I began to educate myself and get out of that box that so many of us get involved. You know, we want to follow the same cookie cutter box, and we're told to, you know, stay between the lines, color in the lines, and stay quiet. And that's not how you get ahead in life. You got to take some risks. You got to take some chances.
I can deeply relate to everything you've said. You know, somewhere along the journey, we're told go to high school, go to college, get a job, get two cars, get a wife, get a house, you know, whatever it is. And so we fall into those patterns that society says this is the way it is, or this is what success, quote unquote, is. And then the sales cycle, like, did you find in sales, I totally agree with you. One is you recognized I'm not in total control of my thing here, because the company could shift or be sold or anything like that. Did you also fall into that patterning of every single month, or maybe every single week, there was like this quota to hit? You know, it's like you might even have one of your greatest months ever, but you wake up on October 1st and you're like, well, it's a new month. What are the 30 things I'm going to kill so that my family can eat? Did you fall into that pattern?
Yeah, for sure. But who doesn't, right? I mean, you're in sales. You got numbers to hit, right? And you take your yearly number, which typically your boss assigns to you with assistance from you, but he wants a certain number, and you divide it by 12 and you think, okay, I got to hit this much every month. Okay. So let's say I'm in the air conditioning world, you know, my summer months are going to be my best months, right? So I'm going to hit the majority of my numbers in there. Or let's say you sell a product that winter's your time, right? So you're going to sell most of your stuff, but at the end of the day, you're counting the clock. You know, I remember when I was in school, I enjoy reading, but only things that really, really relate to me. Otherwise, it's like it's a pain. It's like going to the dentist, right? And I remember, like, okay, especially the school projects. You remember that where you have to have a book read by September, and they give you two or three books. Okay, I have 90 days left to read these three books. Okay, I have 80 days. I can do this. I can do this. Okay, I have, oh shit, I have 30 days left. You know, I got 10. I got to read 300 pages. You know, I got to read that 20 pages a day. That's what sales was like, right? And there's no way to, there's no better way to demotivate, you know, or de-incentivize you than to play with that commission plan.
Yeah, which one do you think, like looking back, which one do you think was the catalyst that said enough is enough? Like where you were like, I'm going to do my own thing. Was it the companies messing with the rules or messing with your commissions? Or was it the sense that I'm not in control of this thing? Or was it the waking up every month and having to do the same thing over and over again, the never-ending feeling of sales?
Great questions. I think number one was when they monkey with the plan, you have the epiphany, because they do it enough times that I don't have control. I'm just a trained monkey here. They keep playing with the numbers. So the epiphany comes that I don't have control. And then you start to question yourself. You start to think, you know, I need to get out of my box a little bit. I got to do something a little bit different, right? Because anybody successful out there, they get off the map. They get off the map that everybody else follows and do something. They create their own path. And so I think you start to like, man, you know, it's like if you don't poke the bear is fine. You poke the bear doesn't like it, and he does something about it. And I think that's what happens in life. I think when you don't like something enough, you know, you do something about it. There's a great quote. I wish I came up with it, but it's not. I live it every day. Necessity is the mother of invention. You know, if you don't like something enough, you'll do something about it. You know, but we forget that. We forget that we have control of our happiness. We have control of everything. We just have to change. You have to decide to wake up one day and like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want a different situation. But it's not until that moment comes that poking, it gets strong enough that you decide to do something about it.
Yeah, you know, humans are weird, right? Like we don't change until we're like on our deathbed or something. Yeah. You know, we have to.
And we have regret, right? We live in regret. You know, who wants to be on the deathbed thinking, man, I should have asked that one girl out. Man, I should have taken a risk and, you know, taken that other job or created my own business. You know, I don't want to live in regret. We're doing some amazing things right now in our company, and all because of that. I don't want to live in regret. I'm going to push the envelope. I'm going to try to create opportunity for everybody around me, and I'm going to push this, and so we can kind of brand ourselves out there as being that authority source.
So you make a decision, enough is enough, and did you immediately hop into real estate from there, or did you go through a phase where you were trying lots of stuff to figure out what the next phase of your life was
going to be? There's three kinds of people. There's the kind of people that are riverboat gamblers, which I have a lot of that in me. We decided to jump into it. There's the tire kickers who go to the car lots and they kick tires. They're not sure if they want to buy that car. And there's the ones that really deliberate on it, right? But you know, it's analysis paralysis. I think you kind of have to go through all of those phases, right, to really get the best result, because I don't think one is the best. I think you got to have a little bit of the three. It took me a couple of years of, you know, watching other people, listening to real estate shows, going to meetings, real estate meetups to say, hey, is this real? Is this really what I want to do? But again, it all comes back to when the pain is there. When the pain is enough, you know what? I'm ready to jump. You know, the analysis paralysis kicks in, but then the pain gets a little deeper and you want to like, you know what? I'm going to make a change. And I did. I joined a real estate club here in Houston, and I got some great knowledge, which allowed me to jump into the game and gain a lot of experience that put us where we're at today. That was the best decision, bar none, of my life. If I had not decided to do that, I wouldn't be on this podcast with you. I wouldn't have changed. I wouldn't have been able to have a different lifestyle.
Did you, because you were in sales, did you go through a phase when you were like, I'm going to go down this path? Did you get, I don't know the best way, it's almost like a bridge loan, I guess, to use a real estate term, but did you have a buffer where I've got income coming in on this side hustle while I'm building my real estate practice?
I did. I didn't jump immediately into it. I remember, as I mentioned when we were speaking offline, I had a company and I started slowing that company. I was the operating arm in that company, but I had my day job. You know, and I had my day job, but I was learning the business, and I invested in one deal. And by the time I had done two deals when I decided to retire from corporate America and go full time. You know, it's really interesting, right? It only took two deals for me to retire what I needed, right? To kind of like be comfortable at home with my kids, you know, and have the income I needed. And once I realized, wow, you know, look how different it is when you can do your own thing, you know, but it goes back to like trusting yourself. If you're good enough, you'll figure it out. And not everybody's meant to be in business. You know, I don't believe there's a lot of gurus out there, and one says, you know, he says that, and everybody's good enough, and other people say, you know what, you are. You just got to push yourself. I'm not sure of that. I think you have to have the mindset. You got to have the heart and the willpower to push through it.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I think there are people that they do analyze everything and they think about their dreams and whatever, but they never take action. There's, you know, there's the person like you went through and you said, look, I've got this job and this is a side hustle as I'm gaining my knowledge, my skills, my character, all those things. I went the other way. I had enough pain. I was willing to jump in and like not look back. I went through periods of, you know, going broke. I went through periods of having to sell cars to pay my team. I had enough pain in 2008, 2009, which I know that's kind of you starting in real estate, which is, that was my crash, was your beginning. but I had enough pain that I was willing to, no matter what, I'm not going back to this thing that drove me insane. You know, the 9 to 5 or the sales job, but I don't necessarily think I would recommend that for a lot of people, because you have to have tremendous, like, fortitude maybe is the word. Like, you just have to be committed. Yeah. And it's a painful road. It costs you relationships. It costs you time. It costs you money when you're that committed and you're maybe it's the ego talking or something. You're that stubborn that you're not going to go back or cave into a job just to support your entrepreneurial dream.
I think too, a lot of it has to do with your own personal infrastructure at home. Were you married at that time?
I was married. And I was lucky enough to have an extremely supportive wife.
There you go. That was the point I was making. You know, are they making income? Was it a single earner or was it a double earner? You know, I was very fortunate that at that time we had two incomes coming in. It was 2 six-figure incomes, you know? And so I woke up one day and I said, you know what? I'm 34 years old. You know, if I'm ever going to do a change, now's the time to do it. You know,
during that phase as you're learning, did you have any major obstacles or adversity that almost crippled you to the point where you weren't going to succeed to the level you are today? Like, did you have that kind of moment where I don't know if this is going to work?
You know, I think that's just life. I think you have everybody around you. When you get out of the norm, everybody comes out because you overvalue their opinion, whether it's mom and dad, whether it's your brothers and sisters, your friends. You're doing something that they don't like. Right now, we're putting our brand out on social media and I'm getting a little negative comments here and there, right? But at the end of the day, they're paying attention. They're watching. You're doing something that they don't like, right? Because they don't either know how, or you're exposing something in them that they don't like to feel, right? So I think, I don't know of any particular event other than it took my own desire, right, to push through it, right? Because mom and dad didn't show this to me, and because they didn't show it to me, it wasn't important to them, right? And you know, who's your biggest fan growing up? Is mom your mom and dad, right? Who do you look to for their approval? Mom and dad. You know, I remember when I became a sales guy graduating from school. Remember, I have an engineering degree, but I went to sales. Like, wait a minute, we sent you to school so you can become a sales guy? Like, they didn't understand that there's technical sales. It's not like selling door-to-door encyclopedias or vacuum cleaners, which is what they were exposed to. They never seen a professional sales force. Any major corporation in America that has a product has an executive sales force. And they're typically college educated, and they're put together. And in my case, I have an engineering background, right? So I had to fight that. I think because I fought through that, I know that not necessarily everybody else's opinion is the right opinion. You got to trust your heart. You got to trust yourself and ask yourself, are you willing to go all the way?
Yeah, so such solid advice and thoughts too, because the reality is, if somebody hasn't done what you're trying to do, you shouldn't be accepting advice from them, even if it is your parents. And also, as you begin to change and morph and evolve and put yourself out there more, it does feel resistance, because a lot of people, I think it's them projecting. It's basically, they see somebody going after the life and the dreams that they want for them and their family. Well, a lot of people desperately want to do that and leave their 9 to 5 themselves, but for whatever reason, they're not wired that way, or they're fearful, or whatever.
You know, just a quick example that would happen to me yesterday. I got a quote in a CNBC article alongside other real estate people like a Grant Cardone or Barbara Corcoran. And today I get a call from somebody, an in between, who's saying, hey, these people are asking, why are you doing that? Like, are you focused on the business? You're not focused on the business anymore. You're focused on, like, what do you mean? This is all related. It's branding. I'm branding the companies. Have you, instead of following me on social media, why don't you follow your own investments on Facebook and Instagram, right? Which you actually have your money in, right? And see what we're doing there. See all the content and all the daily tips, or what it's like, how we use storytelling and videos to show what it's like to live at one of our properties, right? They don't get where everything is going. This is an attention noise thing, and you got to rise above the noise.
Yeah, we're in an age where attention is the asset. You know, it's
a currency.
You don't have to gain people's attention. You have to keep it. So you can't be boring. You have to be a little bit entertaining at doing what you do. I think I have a couple questions. When you went into the real estate club, did you gravitate towards one mentor or coach at that time as you were still learning stuff? And how do you feel about mentorship and coaching and those types of things?
I think networking is key. I think, you know, you mentioned a point that I want to hit again, and I think was really probably the best one we've both made, is that you don't take advice from people that aren't where you want to be. You know, you take advice from people that are further down the map than you, right? And I think that was the benefit of the real estate club, is that there were mentors there that had done this already. There were coaches. They were there to show you, you know, the particular one that I was in, they have a great road trip on a Friday where you get to visit members' properties and touch the brick and shake hands and network with other investors and talk to the staff. I mean, what an amazing concept, right? You get to talk to the day-to-day people, right? And they're doing what you want to do. And that's how I got started, you know? So I think they were doing a great job. I mean, you pay for this fee, you join this club, it's what you expect, but not everybody gives you the same value. And there was tremendous value there.
I think it's a very valid point to recognize that all business comes through other people. All money comes from other people's bank accounts into yours for an exchange in value. And so it's important to not lose that aspect. So many people and entrepreneurs get stuck in the learning phase. Did you feel like, how I always describe it with clients is, it's like there's a phase of your business where you have to accumulate a lot of knowledge. You have to learn. And so you're soaking stuff in through books, mentorship, coaches. Did you feel a distinctive shift to where you're at today? Because now it's more distribution, right? It's for a while you're putting stuff into your brain, but then at some point you got to stop following other people's brands and just promote yours and distribute content. Did you feel that was a shift that happened like overnight, or is that how you felt when you started to distribute more than consume?
Well, what a great question. I don't think anybody's asking that question. I really like, I'm looking for the opportunity to respond. I think that so many of us are a sponge.
You can do that when I stop talking.
I think so many of us, we're sponges. We don't want to make mistakes. Right. So you listen to everything, and you can get into a little bit of paralysis that way. Right. Where you're just constantly going for the edge. Right. You're just listening and following them, and because you are trying to get their advice. But at some point you realize that, man, my next successes are from my mistakes today. And you got to eventually jump. You got to believe and have faith that you're doing it the right way. And, you know, I'll give you an example. In 2014, we bought a property, Class A, right? Which means it's a newer construction in a better part of town. And the mistake that I made was it was too small. It was 51 units. It was right before oil fell, right? Because when I was doing underwriting, oil was $100 a barrel. I closed the deal, oil was $60 a barrel. And by Christmas that year, oil was $30 a barrel. So at the same time, oil had been $100 a barrel, and there's an oversupply of units now, right? And here I am dipping my toe thinking, I'm going to be the low-cost provider. I'm going to make this work. And it didn't hit the financial numbers it was supposed to, because I went into a gunfight with a knife. But as I said, necessity is the mother of invention. If you poke the bear, you're going to figure it out. The pain got so real that I had to figure out, how am I going to survive? How are we going to stay and compete with these 300, 400 unit properties that have every amenity in the world when I have a little executive style pool and a fitness center, right? And we learned social media. We learned reputation management. And from a numbers aspect, it didn't give me the best return, maybe 9% a year that we owned it. But the lessons that I learned from that were tremendous. I didn't have any websites until 2014. That was the very first deal. And now we have not just websites, we have teeth on these websites. We know how to track leads. We know how to target leads. Reputation management. I have 6 properties right now that are ranked in the top 1% in the country for resident satisfaction. I wouldn't have that if I hadn't learned the importance of reputation management back in 14, because I was a little 51 unit deal and I had to sell ourselves against these 300 unit guys. Like, well, they're not going to take care of you. everybody here renews. Everybody wants to be here because it's like Melrose Place, right? It's like everybody knows everybody and it's small, and you know, but you had to learn that, right? So I really, really think that your failures are where your successes of tomorrow come, because you learn. You're the first one to take those arrows in the chest, but then you're the first one to learn the mistake and understand the lesson.
Yeah, it's like listening to you, and I'm thinking about it. One of my very good friends, Helen, she said her piece of advice for people is stop asking for advice. Like, but it's a balancing act. You need some coaching and some mentorship and some networking in the beginning, and at some point that has to slow down. You have to trust your gut and just keep taking actions to learn what you're going to learn. And so it's a combination of those, right? It's like you need some mentorship and guidance because it's a fool's errand to try and figure it all out on your own. But at the same time, at some point, you just got to trust your intuition. You've got plenty of knowledge. You have to take action every day.
Right, it's a balancing act for sure between going to the well all the time, looking for the answer, and getting handicapped, and not letting yourself develop. You know, those are answers that you should, that you could have probably figured out through trial and error. Right. So, but when do you want to do that? Right. And I think it can handicap you if you have too good a source all the time. You're going to have to learn those lessons.
What's something that you did do today on those, I just call them lessons, you know, when I try something and it didn't work the way I thought it was going to work. Some people would say those are failures, you know. Do you find, like, is there a mindset hack that you would recommend or a trick on how to keep taking action, experience things, even when they don't go your way, and not let that sidetrack you for a whole bunch?
Number one, you just can't get down on yourself, right? I mean, depression comes from things that you worried about in the past. Anxiety comes from things that you're afraid are going to happen in the future. And peace comes from living in today, right? And so if you remember that, you know, I wish I could say I created that, but I just found that on a meme the other day. And I thought it was amazing, right? I was like, wow, that makes so much sense. That would have solved so many of my issues, right? Because you're your harshest critic. And it may not go right for you, but to somebody else who's 3 years behind you, 5 years behind you, a year behind you, you're their God. Like, wow, this guy does everything right. You know, no, it's not true. I put my pants on one leg, I sound like everybody else, you know, and my mistakes are my mistakes. So own your mistakes. Don't worry about what anybody else thinks, but don't be afraid of them. They're a lesson. You move on.
Do you find that, like, I'll use an example, but sometimes some of my biggest mistakes I'm actually grateful for now because I see how they tied together for either my family or my daughter. And I'm like, oh, that actually not only taught me a lesson, but it taught my wife and my daughter a lesson too. And that was actually a good thing in hindsight. Do you find that looking back?
Absolutely. I mean, that deal I mentioned to you in 2014 with the lessons. I mean, before that, we had a reputation of buying a deal and in a 24 to 48 month period, returning 100% of the cash back through a refinance event. That was the first deal that didn't happen. Right? I didn't return 100% out. And I took it very personal. Like, man, I broke my streak. You feel like you lost that Midas touch, you know, or what are people going to say? Right. And you're going to have your critics like, well, you know, he said this and no one ever bought a Class A before in my network, right? I'm learning the lessons, and look at the lessons that I learned. You can't put a dollar amount on what I learned from that property because I've taken that to the rest of my Class B and Class C portfolio, and I've supercharged. It's like literally adding steroids into my property because I gained a lesson by venturing out, right? And if I hadn't done that, I'd be like everybody else. You know, I wouldn't be standing out and I wouldn't be, you know, living up to our company name of trying to be a rock star and push yourself.
Well, and part of the reason you're where you're at today is because of that mindset and that attitude, which is super solid. You know, it's just like if you can have that attitude going in and not beat yourself up for these little things, so much of it is this internal dialogue that's happening. And just to recognize, almost to get yourself out of your own shoes sometimes, like there's 7.5 billion other people that still don't know either one of us exists today. You know what I mean? It's like there's plenty of people out there that have no clue who Mike Young or Robert Martinez are.
And they would gladly trade places with you. And that's the thing you need to remember.
Yeah, and vice versa. There's always a better and a worse.
There's always a better number, right? So not be so hard on yourself. Like, you know what? I'm working on myself. I'm not number one on the food chain. I'm working to be the best that I can. And I think that's the harshest thing because we are our harshest critic. I know I am. I want to get it right. I know the pain is good, but you know, you don't want it. You want it to be easy. But there's no wins tomorrow if it's always easy.
So Tell me a little bit about where your business is at today and kind of what you're passionate about, like what you're currently working on, and kind of where you think your business is headed.
Well, I think every business needs to have a goal, right? You got to have a rally cry. You got to have something that everybody wants to get behind. Otherwise, they're just punching a clock and coming in every day, right? And so with our company, we've won a lot of awards. We've done some really great financial returns for our investors, but it's not enough. You know, it's got to be something else. So we have a goal of getting to 10,000 units. 10,000 really could put you on the map in this country. You become a not just a regional player, but a national player. And our goal is to become a national player, and 10,000 is that number, you know? And so we document, we have a weekly video log documenting how we get there, right? And so, you know, I don't see me in an office building like this or doing a podcast. You'll see me at my properties, walking the properties, talking to the staff, having team meetings, trying to figure out what's going on. So I think we're trying to brand and showcase and be that guy. There's a lot of guys that do what I do from a syndication, and they put deals together, but that's not what I do. I run my deals. I'm a practitioner. I am knee deep in it. And there's very few decisions that get made here operationally that I'm not involved in. You know, I know when we're going to make a staff change. I know when we're certainly going to buy a deal, and I know the reasons behind it, right? And really, it's got to have my blessing behind it, right? So I want to showcase that. But you know what? I do it not just for my team. I do it for my kids. You know, I used to be so envious of like watching like the Kennedys, you know, and they have all these, you know, videos, black and white and color. And they had the resource to have a little cameraman walking around, right? And he's documenting, you know, John as he's walking around and taking his first steps. He's there in the Oval Office in the great picture where he's underneath the desk, you know. And I was like, wow, my kids aren't going to have that. They're not going to know what dad was like when he was in his 30s and his 40s, you know. And I want to leave this for them, right? Because we spend all day with our work family, and we see our kids only at night. And if you're in a situation where you're divorced or what have you, and you see your kids every other weekend or something like that, you don't get them that often, right? And I think what we're doing here with our company, videoing, using micros and memes and all that, I love sharing those with my kids. I love showing them, hey, check this out. You know, hey, look at this. You know, it gives me something to talk about, but they understand who I am and maybe something to aspire to, something to get beyond me. You know, I'll probably, I don't know if we'll ever own a massive office building or a massive skyscraper down in Houston, but you know what? They might. They might, you know, I mean, look what Donald Trump's done versus what his dad did. His dad was, I don't know if you know this, was one of the largest multifamily housing owners in the country. He had 27,000 rental units in Brooklyn, right? And his son is president of the United States. I guarantee you that if his dad hadn't done that, Donald wouldn't be able to be president today. Yeah. You know, and so I want to be able to be that marker for my kid, that light to show them what can be done, because I've hit beyond any expectation or metric for myself. You know, my dad worked for a Whataburger, which is like a hamburger food chain here in Texas, right? And he was really good at what he did, right? He could never have imagined what I'm doing today. I never imagined because he didn't put it in my head, right? Yeah. And so I'm trying to create that so my kids have something else to shoot for.
So if somebody in listening to the show is currently in that stage where things are not working and they maybe haven't tapped into their thing yet, what's one piece of advice that you would give them in that stage where they feel stuck or they feel stagnant, like they're not getting what they want? What would you say?
Well, number one, everybody feels like that every once in a while, you know. Yeah. Number two, stop judging yourself so damn hard. You know, again, there are people who would gladly switch places with you in a heartbeat who don't have the resources and the opportunity, you know, and it can always be worse. You know, I follow Gary Vee a lot, and Gary likes to talk about, you know, I'm good. I handle stress real well because the only thing that matters to me is my kids and the seven people in my life. And if something happens to them, then I'm crushed and I'm going to be devastated. Yeah. But everything else, it just rolls off my, you know, rolls off my shoulder. Right. And that makes a lot of sense. Right. So I think you need to have some perspective. You know, stop comparing yourself to the Kardashians. Stop comparing yourself to these people who've had, you know, I mean, look, if our mom was Kris Jenner, you know, a business ninja, then yeah, we would have $1 billion in net worth and maybe we'd have an incredible social media following, but they weren't, right? It's okay. Be you and document who you are and be true to yourself. And no, so no one ever says you're copying anybody. No one ever says that you're just being original. You have a long time. We're living to be much later in life, you know, 80s and 90s. You know, by the time our kids are older, they may be, the centennials or what is it when you hit 100 will be much more, right? We've got years to figure it out. You know, I didn't start my business until I was 34 years old, not at 24. I wasn't some Silicon Valley startup. I wasn't, you know, Zuckerberg there at his Ivy League school trying to do. I figured this out at 34. And I'm living a life that I'm really excited about. It's a life that provides for a lot of people within my company. And, you know, if my kids pay attention and they do what they're supposed to do, it's going to provide for them in the future, right? So it's like, don't judge yourself among anybody else. Just judge yourself for yourself. If you don't think where you're at, then do something different. Change up the map.
Yeah, it's super funny too, because when we go to compare ourselves, we usually are comparing ourselves with somebody that's on a whole different level. So if I start comparing my podcast with Joe Rogan's podcast, I'm going to get super depressed, you know, because, you know, there's no way that I would have the entertainment value that he does to sustain that in my current environment. So, but there's really no point. He's a different person than I am. You're a different person than other people that you want to compare to. And when you get to that place where you can just be yourself 24/7, 365, you have a clear mission like you do, clear goals with your company, it gets really fun because you can just say, this is what I'm here to do. And all the other noise goes away, right?
Real quick. And I think that's what it is. It's all noise. Once you realize it's you versus you, it clears up real quick.
100%. Robert, where can people follow your journey or find you or learn from you? And I know you have a lot of going on, but where can people find you and follow you if they want to?
Well, you can certainly find us on social media. We're on YouTube under The Apartment Rockstar, Instagram, Facebook, but we're also now, I have my own personal page now where you can go to theapartmentrockstar.com and you'll see everything we've ever put out. You'll see all the YouTube links. You'll see all the podcasts like this, the articles, and more importantly, I think our daily vlogs. I think there's so much great info there where I think people, you know, I've gotten a lot of people who reach out to me. It's like, man, thank you for showing us this, right? Because it's like, it's not only is it interesting, one, as an investor to see what you do, and I feel secure that you're looking at our money, but you know, at the same time, other people who want to get involved, you're showing them what it's like. It's not perfect. You're going to have your struggles, you know, and you're going to have issues and show your realness, show your truth, right? And it comes out. But I'm glad to have those platforms to be able to show who we are at The Apartment Rockstar.
Well, it's a good model to follow too. If you're in direct sales, if you're in mortgage, you're in real estate, you're in apartments, you're in really anything that, like you said earlier, attention is the commodity we're all fighting for. And if you don't put yourself out there and put it out there consistently, it's something that people should watch and watch what you're doing and how you're doing it, because it doesn't matter what you sell at the end of the day. You need that emotional connection to who you are, what you do, why you do it. And so it's a good model for people to watch and witness and follow. Yes. Because if you don't put it out there, you're not going to gain the attention you need to actually have the success you want.
It's got to be a passion or it's not going to last. It's not real. You're doing it for somebody else. You got to do it for yourself. In my case, like I said, I'm doing it for my kids. You can't, that feeling doesn't go, love lasts. Anger goes short term, but love and that kind of stuff, man, if you got a real motivation, a real desire, it'll stick around for a long time. And I know every time I do one of these videos or I do that, it's an opportunity to show my kids who dad was, to show what he looked like when he was in his 40s or 50s, I guess, in the future, you know, and I love that. I love that opportunity.
100%. Robert, thanks so much for being on the podcast today and sharing your story and your journey and your wisdom. Just super grateful to get to know you better and to share your story with the world.
Hey, thanks for having me on the show. It was an absolute honor and a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Apartment Rockstar podcast. If you want to learn more about Robert Martinez, feel free to go to www.theapartmentrockstar.com. Follow him on Instagram at Apartment Rockstar. Connect through LinkedIn at Robert Martinez. If you're interested in apartment investing through Rockstar Capital, go to investors.rockstarcapital.com. This has been a production of Rockstar Capital.